Okay, so we're diving into shareholder rights today. Sounds like a pretty dry topic.
It can be.
But you've brought some interesting stuff to the table.
I tried.
Yeah, you've got this case, Good v. Lackawanna Leather Co.
Right.
from 1967. And we've got the actual court decision.
We do.
We've got some analysis of it,
Yep.
even a standard case brief to kind of break it all down.
All the good stuff.
So what's the mission for our listeners today?
Well, what's really fascinating about this case is it goes beyond just like the strict legal rules. You know, it really
Right.
gets into like when do shareholders actually have a say? What counts as like a big fundamental change in a company?
Okay.
And this might be surprising, but how important it is to act fast if you think your rights have been messed with.
So if I'm hearing you right, we're figuring out when a company restructuring like sets off those alarm bells for
Exactly.
shareholders who are like, whoa, 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 hold
Yeah,
on.
the special appraisal rights
Right, appraisal
come
right.
back. Yeah, when do they actually kick in and what could stop you from using them?
And what could totally block you
Totally block you.
from even trying to make that claim?
Yeah, which is a big deal.
Yeah, that's where it gets interesting.
And that is where it gets interesting.
Okay, so let's set the scene.
Okay.
We're talking Good Bros, Leather Co.,
Good bros.
and Lackawanna Leather Co.
Lackawanna.
What's the deal with these two?
So they had this like super close relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, going way back to 1957.
Wow.
Like we're talking shared directors, like the some people on the boards of both companies, and then
Okay.
also controlling shareholders.
Oh, so like the same people kind of calling the shots in both places. Okay,
Exactly.
so technically separate companies,
Technically separate, but yeah,
but really intertwined.
deeply intertwined.
Okay. And we can't forget the other folks in this story, right?
Oh, right, the minority shareholders in Good Bros.
Right. The
The
goods
goods, yeah.
who ended up suing.
Right, they were the ones who felt like something wasn't right.
They weren't happy.
No,
So it
no.
wasn't like a totally hands-off situation between these two companies.
Yeah, not at all.
And it wasn't like this all blew up overnight either.
Right, there was this whole backstory.
Right.
There was actually a failed attempt to merge the two companies back in 1958.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, so they were already thinking about combining even back then.
So, like that early failed merger kind of sets the stage.
It really does. It shows they were looking to get even closer.
Right, but it didn't happen that way.
Not in the typical way,
No.
no.
Right, instead, they just kept doing their thing,
They kept their close ties going.
operating close together.
Yep. Which leads us to the stuff that actually caused the lawsuit.
Okay, so what did Good Bros actually do?
Right, like what set the goods off?
Yeah, what were the actions?
So in 1960, Good Bros makes a big move.
Okay.
They decide to sell all their properties in Newark and relocate.
That's a pretty major shift,
Yeah, it is.
but it doesn't stop there.
Oh no, it keeps going.
Okay, tell me more.
So in 1961, they do this massive asset sale.
Okay.
And they get into this long-term processing agreement with another company.
So they're really shaking things up.
Yeah, and get this, by 1964, Good Bros had turned a whopping 94% of its assets into cash or equivalents.
94%.
94%.
That's huge.
It's like a complete transformation of the company.
You'd think the shareholders would have something to say about that.
You would think so, right?
But then the story takes another turn.
It
Right?
does.
They don't just sit on all that
No, they
cash.
don't.
Between 65 and 66, they buy land, build a whole new tannery in Omaha, and then here's the kicker.
What's that?
They lease that tannery to Lackawanna of Omaha,
Oh, okay.
which is a brand new company
Oh,
where
yeah.
Good Bros had a one-third ownership.
So they're still very much in the leather game.
Yeah, just in a different place, different setup.
Exactly. It shows they weren't just shutting down, they were changing their strategy.
Okay, so the goods are watching all this go down. The sale in Newark, the asset conversion, the new Omaha deal.
Right, and they're not happy.
And they decide to sue.
Yeah.
So what were their big legal arguments?
So they had three main points.
Okay.
First, they said that huge asset sale in 61 that was basically selling off all or substantially all of Good Bros' assets.
Okay.
And they argued that under New Jersey law, specifically Section 14.35, which is all about selling off major company assets,
Right.
that kind of sale needs shareholder approval.
Makes sense. You're selling off almost everything the owners should get a say.
Exactly.
So what was their second argument?
Their second point was about all the dealings between Good Bros and Lackawanna.
Okay.
They said all that, especially with the shared leadership, amounted to what's called a de facto merger.
A de facto merger.
Yeah, basically acting like they merged without actually going through the legal steps.
Interesting. So they were saying it was a merger in all but name.
Exact. And that should have triggered shareholder approval rights under New Jersey law, too.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, that was their last argument.
So their final point was about those shared directors.
Okay.
They claimed those directors basically conspired to dodge the rules for both the asset sale and a formal merger.
So they were saying it was intentional.
Yeah, they said the goal was to cut the minority shareholders out of the process.
And specifically to deny them their appraisal rights.
Exactly. Those rights are crucial. They let shareholders get their shares independently valued and bought out at a fair price if they don't like a big change.
Right. So, like, if they didn't agree with the direction the company was going.
Exactly. They could cash out.
Okay, so those are the goods claims.
Well, those are the big ones.
Now, the million-dollar question, how did the court rule?
All right, let's break it down. Yeah. Starting with that de facto merger argument,
okay,
the court shot that one down.
Really?
Yeah, they said to prove a de facto merger, you need to show a few things.
Okay, like what?
First, one company gets absorbed by the other.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the absorbed company's assets get swapped for stock in the acquiring company. Third, the absorbed company totally loses its own identity.
Right, it just disappears.
Right. And fourth, there's a clear continuity of ownership in the new combined entity.
So did the court find those things in this case?
Nope. They said Good Bros was still a separate legal entity even after selling off all those assets.
So they still existed on paper.
Yeah. And they still had some assets, mainly the cash and their stake in that Omaha venture.
Right.
And importantly, Good Bros hadn't been swallowed up by Lackawanna, and there wasn't a direct trade of Good Bros assets for Lackawanna stock.
So it wasn't a classic merger scenario.
Not really, no.
So even though they were super close, it wasn't legally a merger.
That's the key point. Just being close isn't enough. You need those specific elements.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's move on to the 94% asset sale argument.
Right, the all or substantially all claim.
Yeah.
This part is really interesting. The court didn't just focus on the number.
Even though 94% seems like a lot.
It does, but they looked at the bigger picture.
Okay.
They asked, was this asset sale out of the ordinary for Good Bros?
Interesting.
And it was Good Bros basically packing it in closing up shop.
Winding up their business.
Right, winding up.
And what did they decide?
They said no, it wasn't a shutdown. The investment in the Omaha tannery showed they were still in the leather business.
Even though they leased it out?
Yeah, it was a different approach, but they were still operating.
So the court basically said shareholders don't get to dictate exactly how a company runs.
Exactly. Companies need some wiggle room to adapt.
And those appraisal rights are for really fundamental changes.
Right. Like if the company totally changes what it does or goes belly up.
So selling some stuff and building new stuff wasn't enough to trigger those rights.
Not in this case, no.
Interesting. Now, there was another big piece to the court's decision, right?
Oh, yeah. The timing of the lawsuit.
Right. You mentioned that earlier.
This is where we get into the idea of latches.
Latches.
Yeah. It's a legal doctrine that's all about acting promptly.
Oh.
Basically, the court said the goods waited way too long to sue.
5 years is a long time.
It is, especially in business, things move fast.
Right.
And the court said that delay actually hurt Good Bros in Lackawanna.
How so?
Well, during those 5 years, they had invested a lot in those new facilities, like the Omaha tannery.
Right. They relied on the restructuring being done and over with.
Exactly. And the court said letting the goods challenge it now would be unfair.
After everyone had moved on.
Basically, yeah. And that's the heart of lack, is you got to act quickly if you think your rights have been violated.
So even if they had a good case at the beginning.
Maybe.
Waiting too long ruined it.
It did. The court said they slept on their rights.
Interesting. So there are legal consequences for procrastination.
Absolutely. You snooze, you lose.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about the court's reasoning.
We have.
Were there any like key quotes that sum up their thinking?
Oh, yeah. There are a couple that really stand out.
Okay. Lay them on me.
So one is, a shareholder does not have a vested interest in the corporation's method of operations.
Meaning they can't micromanage every business decision?
Right. Management gets to decide how to run things day to day.
Gotcha. What was the other quote?
The other one is, appraisal rights apply only when there's a fundamental change to the corporation's organic character.
Organic character meaning like what?
Like the company's DNA, what it's really all about. Not just the specifics of how it does things.
Okay.
So selling a factory and building a new one might be a big deal,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't necessarily change the fundamental nature of the company.
So those quotes really capture the court's view.
They do.
Now, for our listeners out there who are studying law, what are the big takeaways from this case?
Well, the biggest one is don't wait to act.
Right. We talked about laches.
If you think your rights have been violated, you got to move fast.
Time is of the essence.
Exactly.
What else?
Another takeaway is that not every restructuring is a merger.
Right.
Just because a company changes things up doesn't mean shareholders automatically get those appraisal rights.
The court really digs into the specifics.
They do. They look at whether one company was absorbed by another. Did ownership really change? Did the company lose its identity?
So there has to be a real shift in control and structure.
Yeah, it's not just about shuffling assets around.
Okay, so as a lawyer, you got to know the rules, but also the exceptions.
And the strategies.
Right, and how to argue your case effectively.
Exactly. It's not just about what the law says. It's about how it's applied.
So Good v. Lackawanna is a great example of how complex corporate law can be.
Oh, yeah. It's not just checking boxes. It's about understanding business and strategy and timing and fairness.
That idea about shareholders not always getting a say in how things are run, that's something to think about.
It is. It raises questions about when shareholders should have more power.
Right. Even if it's not a clear-cut merger or asset sale.
Exactly. It's about the evolving nature of companies and shareholder rights.
So hopefully this deep dive has shed some light on Good v. Lackawanna.
I hope so.
We've covered the facts. The legal arguments, the big takeaways.
Yeah, we've really unpacked it.
Now, here's something for everyone to ponder.
Okay.
How would this 1967 case apply to today's world?
Interesting.
Think about tech companies.
Right.
With their complex deals and constantly shifting assets.
That's a great question. Something to really dig into.
Yeah, lots to think about.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
Until next time.